Good morning.
Good morning.
It's an honor to be back with you again. I thank God for whenever he gives me the privilege to stand in the space, divine space, and be his mouth to the world. I know that the words that I will say don't come from me. They're coming through me. And that always gives me a real thrill. Title of my talk today is Practicing the Presence. Talking about those God moments when God is always with us, when we remember that we know that we know that we know. And I thought it was quite interesting that the first scripture that I pulled out to accompany the message was the one on the cover of your bulletin, ask and it will be given. Search and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. And I thought, I love how God works that. It happens all the time. And that tells me I must be on track. That's a good feeling. I have two other scriptures to share with you. And this one comes from Romans. First one came from Luke, as you can see on your bulletin. You know what time it is. How is it now, that moment for you to wake from your sleep? You know what time it is. How is it now? That moment, this divine moment, right here, right now, for you to wake from your sleep. You say, I'm awake. Are you? Are you really awake? And the last one comes from Matthew. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, if you take a look at the Bible, it's our instruction booklet for living our lives. And every time I open it to something, I see something that I haven't seen in a while or see something that jumps out to me as new news. I'm grateful. Because even though that Bible was written way long time ago and it's been interpreted a million different ways, I think I shared with you once before when I was at Joel Osteen's church in Houston, they had a wall, as long as this wall, with Bibles. All the different interpretations of the Bible. I've never seen that before or since. And as many interpretations as he had on that wall to suit everyone and everyone's needs, that's the way God is, because we are individualized expressions of God. You may hear something one way and the next person hears it a different way. But if you practice that presence and ask God what's right for you, it will come to you. Might not be like instant coffee, you know, like that, but it will come. I thought I would talk today about practicing the presence, because God is always present with us, even when we don't even realize it. You know, when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're hungry, when we're acting bad, God is always there. There's no place where we can be where God is not. We live, truly live in God moments. But we don't always think about the God moment. You know, I came up through the church of today under the tutelage of Jack Boland. My family back in Kentucky were pillars of the church, founders, part of the founding body of the church of about 500 people. Every time those church doors opened, I was there with my mother, my father, with my grandmother, my grandma, my aunts, my uncles, cousins. So I thought I knew a lot until I got to Unity. And I found out about practicing the presence. And I heard this message about God is with us all the time, in us, through us, as us. God sees it all. And I thought, even when I'm in the bathroom? And I got a little embarrassed for a moment because, you know, you think that's your private time. And I thought, God, you watching me as I brush my teeth and wash my face and take my shower and do my eliminations? Yep, God's there. God is there. So when we become more mindful that God is with us even in the most intimate moments of our lives, you know, when people are engaged, when a husband and wife are engaged, and all of a sudden you hear the sound, oh, God. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's a moment of utopia. But as God said, I'm even there too. God is God is God. No place where God's not going to be. God is there when we feel great, and God is there when we feel not so great. And if we can just remember to practice the presence of God, knowing that God is closer to me than my own breath, then I might behave better, you think? You know, we sometimes have the tendency to forget that God is everywhere present. And I'm going to tell you, from my own perspective and what's going on in our world right now, I wish more people would become cognizant of the fact that God is in that bad behavior too. God is in everything. And I wonder what a world, what a more wonderful world would be if we all learned to practice the presence more. Even when you get ready to fill your glass full of water, God is the glass. God is you, in you, through you, as you. Every cell, fiber, and being of your body is God. There's a scripture in the Bible that say, know that ye are gods. I think that one scares the pants off of most people, because we can't see ourselves being God. But God is you, God is me, God is everybody. And you say, well, wait a minute. Now, what about that person over there that's acting ugly and mistreating people and being mean and nasty, and those people that are over there just killing people? God is there too. And I had a hard time wrapping my head around that one. And I thought, but why would they? But you see, we have this thing called free will. And we also have this thing called divine determination. God gave us life to go live through certain circumstances so that we can see his will and his power as he steps in and takes over. I remember a friend of mine after the towers blew up in Washington, D.C. Lord, help me, Jesus. When the towers blew up in New York, and she said she saw a vision of all these souls as points of light rising from the rubble, going to heaven in mass. And she saw the presence there with its arms open, welcoming them. And while those of us here on earth were full of sorrow and sadness, and some of us with not nice feelings, disgust, we couldn't understand who could do that. Why would they do that? That's terrible. You don't kill people. You go by the Ten Commandments. Treat people as you choose to be treated. But what we do forget is that this world is by God's divine design. Sometimes God has to do some very extraordinary things to get our attention. If you remember back, what was it, 1991? I forget what year it was. Whatever year it was, New York had been prior to that known as a very cold city when it comes to relationships with people. You could walk down the street, and I worked there for a while, so I know, walk down the street, you don't look in a person's eye, you don't look at them. You just keep going and watch about your business. They said to talk, now I'm from the South, we speak. And that took some restraint for me to know, don't do that, because it could be misinterpreted. But I noticed that after the towers fell, there was a reporter wrote in the New York Times how amazed he was that people were being nice to each other, they were speaking to each other, they were being helpful to each other. And I said, that happens. I've noticed that happens. Every time after a major catastrophe in our world, an earthquake, a hurricane, or some tornado, or those kind of tragic things, people are very helpful, very loving, very kind. And I said, I wonder if that's God's way at that time of shaking our shoulders and getting us to pay attention. There's only love. That's all God wants, is love. But he's given us this free will. And some of us say, well, I'm better than you. You got a problem, it's your problem, not mine. And we know that that'll take you straight out of here, because we have to be more mindful. The person that is having that situation could probably use a smile or a hug or a kind word, or maybe $5, $10 to help them get through. And maybe they're too embarrassed to ask for it. What skin is it off your nose to be helpful to somebody else? You know, God is good if we allow God, but we have to use that free will and make the choice and practice the presence, because God has us showing up in the world to help people, to love people, to care about people. Not so we can feel really good about something, you know? No, so we can express the love and the grace and the joy of God. Back during the time that Jack Bolin was alive, I was a volunteer usher for years, and then I became president on the board, and then I became president of the board of directors of the church. And he would choose some of the volunteers, and sometimes he would choose a congregant or two, and he'd invite them to breakfast or to lunch. And we would go to a restaurant. We called it Unity North, where we would go. Did you ever go to that, Michael? Unity North, the 12 in Hoover.
Big Boy.
Big Boy, yes. Yeah. And we would just like take over the place. And Jack would wait till everybody got their food. And then he would say the grace, of course. And then he would ask us for our God moments. And that was a very special time. And the first time that I was able to be there, and I thought, well, geez, I don't know. I'm God moment? I don't know if I've had one. And I was sitting there kind of shrinking in my chair thinking, I can't think of anything. And I was freaking out inside. And I was saying, oh, God, if I'm supposed to tell something, what can I tell? Everybody's sharing these wonderful moments that God, when they knew that God was present in their lives, when they could feel, touch, and know for sure that it was the hand of God on them. And I was thinking, ooh. Well, finally, it was about 20 people. When it finally got around to me, I heard my mouth open and I heard my mouth talking. And I was talking about this God moment. Someone had done something really, really precious with me and for me. I had taken it for granted and tossed it off. And it came back to me like, boom. And I said, yeah, that was a God moment. Because I wasn't expecting that, and it happened. I'm not going to go into details of that. I don't take up time. But I'm saying, God moments are always there for us. It's God saying, hey, I'm here. I'm here. Let me hug you. Let me love you. Let me touch you. Let me pray with you. We don't always remember. We're not always open to receive it. Last weekend, I drove to a Unity church over in Cleveland, outside of Cleveland. And I was really proud of myself because the Ohio Turnpike, it was very interesting. And I always ask God to give me easy peasy, smooth and easy travel wherever I go. And I was shocked. You hear me? I was shocked that I did that drive that should have taken 3, not more than 4 hours. It took me 8. Uh-huh. In inchworm traffic, it was just, now that used to just rattle my chain something fierce. But I found myself singing along with the radio, singing songs. I was enjoying the time. And I said, you know, God, thank you so much for teaching me to enjoy this time, even though I'm not liking that it's taking me hours and hours and hours. But thank you for teaching me to be in the present moment and enjoy your presence. And I almost felt hands come over my shoulders and like smooth me, you know, like caress my shoulders. And I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I'm alive, awake, and aware of your indwelling presence. Thank you, God, that I'm alive, awake, and aware that you are always with me, through me, as me. And I said, well, since I got this ride here, God knows when I'm going to get out of this one, because we're just kind of inching along for about 50 miles, 30, 40, 50. I don't know what it was. It was a lot of miles. I didn't get rattled. Do you know how unusual that is for me? The old me would have been having a hissy, a super duper hissy fit. But the Spirit of the living, loving God in me said, chill out, Kara, relax. Enjoy the ride. And so I decided to do what I do sometimes. I have these driving meditations where I say, Father, you have my pure, undivided attention. All I have to do is pay attention to traffic. I don't have to do nothing else. Talk to me. And I get some of the most awesome insights when I do that. And I used to live up in Rochester Hills, and I had to drive. For 6 months, I drove from there to Ann Arbor to manage a project every day. Yeah, I didn't like it either. But I finally had to learn to distract myself so that I wouldn't go there. And I started having driving meditations. Vicki and I live relatively close together, so we decided to not take two cars. Let's be sensible. Let's do one. And I said, I'll come get you. And so she was asking me, and she's the most polite person in the world. She says, do you have a practice that you do when you're on your way to church, you know, to get ready for it? And I said, well, you know, God wakes me up so early, and I do my morning prayer, meditation, and blessings for other people, that by the time I get in this car, I'm charged and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I said, no, but thank you for thinking of me. It's very kind, very considerate. And I told her, I said, you know, when I was working on that project, I drove to Ann Arbor every day. And I had to do this driving meditation to distract me, because I was in my, God, this is taking so long. Oh God, I can't stand the stop and go traffic. And I would just go down that path. And I know a lot of you still have to drive in traffic every day, and thank God I no longer have to do that, because my heart goes out to you. But I have learned to enjoy the ride. And the presence showed me last Saturday that I have grown to that level. And that made me feel quite pleased. And I give thanks, honor, praise, and glory to God to teach me that. But you know, sitting around that dinner, that breakfast, lunch, or dinner table, exchanging God moments, it's a very awesome thing to do, and I'd encourage you to do it. I started doing it around my dinner table. My son and whoever else was with us at the time, I said, let's do God moments. And there was only three or four or five of us, and we would do that, and I would notice that how the environment would just change. The food tasted better. The relations that were more harmonious, sharing God moments, practicing the presence of God. Those moments are very strong, and they're very fulfilling, for lack of a better word. It'll help you stay out of upset. I thank God for the teachings of unity. God didn't make them just for unity. He made it for us all. But I thank for teachings of unity, because all the years that I spent in my Presbyterian church, I never learned the principles the way that I know them now from being in unity. And I'm going to tell you, my father was, it was a huge church, about 500-600 people. My father was an elder. My mother was the organist. And she could play any instrument, just put it in front of her, she could play it. And she had the most gorgeous voice. People just loved and adored her. And I got to go and listen to her, because it was such a joy to know. I thank God that I know the principles, and I can practice the presence and call forth the presence of God in any situation to lift my consciousness up higher, to lead me, guide me, direct me, show me, bless me, protect me. You know, I know that we all live our lives, and we all kind of go off on detours time or two, and I think most of us do that when we're maybe in our 20s, 30s, 40s. We do it until we grow up. Some of us don't grow up until we're 50, 60, 70, 80. I was sitting by the bedside of someone who's close to making their transition, and this guy said to me, I always wanted to get this God thing right. I never quite got it right. Do you think it's too late? And I said, no. He was not a unity person, okay? He had to learn the principles the way that we learned them. And I told him, it's never too late. As long as you're drawing breath in your body, it's time. It might not have been until this time for you to take a look at your life and your behavior to transform it. I said, but you know what? God knew you were going to come to this point. It's all laid out for us. And what we choose to do with it is our choice. So it's always best if we can get with the program, but we have to stay out of judgment about where you are in your life and where other people are in theirs. And there's so much judgment going around right now. If we could just step out of that judgment and practice the presence of God is watching over it all, who are we to blow against the wind and judge someone else's behavior? We don't know what is the catalyst for why they acted out that way. Our job is to hold the space. Hold the space of love. Hold the space and let God work in through us and be God. You know, it's amazing. I was in a car one day. I was in Washington, D.C., driving down the street. I stayed over the weekend, and I was working over there. I used to travel a lot. And I was trying to find the Unity Church. And I was following the directions, and this is way before GPS came out. This was back in the late, the end of the 90s. And I pulled out a side street. This major street was going there. And I looked that way. I didn't see any cars. It had a street that had a median in the middle. And I looked this way, and then I looked back that way, and then I pulled out. Just as I pulled out, a big limousine came from nowhere and just about sideswiped me. And I felt my hands going like, just easing over quickly into the other lane. And I had to pull over, say, now what was that all about? And I heard, that's the hand of God watching over you. Because I looked, I didn't see anybody. That car could have smashed right into me. It could have caused my death. But God knew that God had plans for us. God has plans for our lives, and all we have to do is just tune in, tune out. Tune in to God and tune out the crap. Tune out the, oh, good. We don't have enough time to tell the stuff that we tune into that's so unnecessary. It's time for us to tune in to God. Tune out all that negative conversation that's going on. All the stuff that's going on in the world that does us no good. I encourage you to stop joining in, and it's hard sometimes, to stop joining in with the tenor of the conversation that's going on. Turn on the television, 5 o'clock in the morning, you hear the bad. Turn it off, turn it back on maybe about 7 to hear the morning shows. Still, negative conversation. Turn it on in the afternoon, negative conversations. Turn on the evening. Where's the good? We know we live in a world where there's a lot of good coming. All we have to do is just ask God, where is it? Where is it, God? Where's the good news? And God said, I'm waiting for you to give it. Oops. Sometimes all we have to do is just give a nice hello. Or sometimes all we have to do is just give a smile. That's the good news. That's the good news. A lot of people will take the name of God in vain. Well, G.D. had something, if he hadn't done it, well, it happened. Get over it. I have a guy who's calling me all the time now, and he'll call me all the time the day after the evening. I said, don't call me on Saturday before such a time, because I'm focusing on writing my message and just in that space of research and writing. And yesterday about 2:30, hey, Carol, yeah, this is your friend. Okay. I could hear it in the voice. What's up, dude? I'm upset. I'm disgusted. I am so ticked off, because you know he used a lot of choice words. And I said, what's going on? They made me angry. I am so angry, I could tear nails out with my teeth. Well, what's going on? Well, I've been so angry, I can't sleep. And I've ground my teeth down. And the dentist said that if you keep this up, you're not going to have any molars left at all. And I said, okay, so how's that working for you? And he said, it's not. That's why I called you. I said, okay, so you got a mess going on in your life, and you want to call me for what reason? Because misery wants company? I said, I'm not buying it. I'm not coming into your company. I'm not doing that. I said, but I will do my best to uplift you. Now, you've been chewing on this for about a month now. You said you're not getting any decent sleep at night because this is bothering you, because these people did you wrong and they had no right to do this to you, and you're just angry, you're upset, you're disgusted. I said, so what are you doing to turn it around? I can't even think about that yet. I said, that's where your problem is. Have you talked to God about it? No, you know, I don't go to church. Well, maybe it's time that you do. Well, I just don't want to. You'd rather call me and bring my day down. You know darn well on Saturdays, don't call me in the morning or early afternoon. I said, you're fortunate that I picked up the phone, because usually I let those calls go to voicemail, because anybody that knows me knows I'm busy. I'm busy from 2 to 6. After that, I'm okay most of the time. Sometimes it's before then, but I'm not going to tell you that I freed up at 2 o'clock so you can worry the daylights out of me then too. No. And I said, tell me this, what's the payout? What's the payoff? And why are you calling me? Because I know you'll tell me the truth. And I said, that's true. And what I'm going to tell you right now is to get off the phone, go sit down, shut the noise, and go within and ask God to show you the way. There's no great mystery with God. God makes it real simple for us to practice his prayer. He's there anyway. God knew that you were going to act a fool. God knew that you were going to get crazy. But when you practice the presence of God, there's no way that to lose. God is always there, wanting to make us happy, wanting to make us glad, want us to be the out-picturing. God is always there strengthening us. God is always there waiting for us to come to joy. God knows what's going to happen before it happens, but God always is hoping that we make the better choice. That we make the better choice to see the good, to see the good. Because we know that if we can make the choice, practice the presence, knowing that God is closer to us than our breath. If you can't visualize that, just see yourself hooking arms with God. And he's kind of tied to you from your shoulder all the way down to your ankle, and everywhere you go, there's God with you, going with you. Would you misbehave? Would you act out ugly? Not to say that you're not going to get upset, because we all do get annoyed. But are you going to do like my friend? Are you going to pitch a tent and stay there? Or are you going to dig a foundation and build a 3-story home in this upset, in this anger? Or are you going to shake it off? Like the Spirit says, shake off the dust. Shake off the dust. Best thing you can do whenever you get upset is say, okay, God, now what is this about? What is it you want me to know in this? There are going to always be situations that come to us that can kind of shake us. But is your foundation in God strong enough? Is your foundation in God sincere? Is it strong enough that nobody can shake you off your point? It's a choice we make. We can know that every day and every way we're getting better and better. Or we can go down the hill. God says, I gave you free will. And if you want to go down that hill, there's mud down there. There's rocks, there's boulders. And there's some interesting animals down there that might bite you and eat you or give you a poisonous bite. But keep rolling, you'll get there. Or do you choose to stand in your God-given power and say, I'm a child of God. I am whole, perfect, and complete. I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to do this. I walk, live, move, and have my being knowing that God is with me. God never moves away from us. It is we who move away from God. Now, don't think that I'm holier than thou, because I've got a temper, but I have learned to harness it, to keep it in proper perspective. And I do my best, most of the time, not to let anybody throw me off my center. And if I find myself being thrown off my center, I'll just say to myself, help me, God. Help me be the best that I can be. Help me be the better than this. I deserve better. Show me. Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. How about you? Can you say that with me? Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. Do you mean it? Do you seriously mean it? Oh, come on, you're pulling my leg.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. You see, we live in a feeling universe. We have to speak the word for what it is that we desire. And when we desire things that are done out of good, out of love, God provides. God is saying, hey, 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 love it, my children. God needs us to get off the dime and stop acting like we're less than, to stop acting like there's not enoughness, to stop acting like nobody wants to care about me. It's just little old me. I just don't know. You got God. What else do you need? What else do you need? You don't need to try to figure your problems all by yourself. I tell a lot of stories from my life because the book about three quarters done, is called High Stepping Over Obstacles. And it's vignettes from my life. The many stories of the stuff that I've been through, I tell the story and how I use spiritual principles to overcome, to step over, and to be all. Because you see, there was a time in my life that I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to be alive. I told God, pull my ticket any time now, because if I'm not doing things, if I'm not serving you and others at my highest, grandest, and greatest, and best, pull my ticket. I'm okay with going to the other side. Some people over there I want to see anyway, but I'm not quite ready. But if you're ready for me, I'll do it. I just totally surrender to God. And it's an interesting thing. When we totally let go and let God, God can come and work in and through us. God can only work in moments. In God moments. And God can only work through an open mind. You can't have your mind open just a little bit. You got to open your mind. And even if you don't know how to open your mind, you can say, God, help me with this. Show me the way. I choose to be the best that I can be. I choose to be the highest and grandest and greatest, best person that I can possibly be. And I know that I cannot do it by myself. I need help. There's a song, My Help Comes from the Lord. You know, my help, all of my help cometh from the Lord. And don't get that twisted. Don't get that twisted. You may think you know, but you don't know more than God. You don't have better answers than God does. And God is there with you in every moment. Every moment, working with you and for you. Doing his best to teach you, to nourish you, to give you all the information that you need so that we eat healthy food, we have healthy relationships, we live in a healthy environment. You know, I look around at what's going on in the world these days, and I'm not seeing a lot of good, but I know it's there because God is there. God has not given up on us. God has not given up on us. And if we're going through certain situations, it's because there's a blessing on the other side of it. And unless we open up and recognize and acknowledge the divine indwelling presence of Almighty God in us, through us, as us, and with us, we'll never get to it. We'll never get to it. God is your food. God is your liquids. God is your nourishment, your health. God is your survival. God is God. You know, you've heard me say many times, there's nothing you can see, feel, hear, taste, or touch that is not God. This podium is God. The carpet is God. The seat you're sitting on is God. The clothing you wear is God. There's nothing that is not God. And look at the blessings. God protects us. Now look at the stuff that's going on in our world that seems to want to harm us. I was reading, I like clean food. And I was reading an article about food, and it was talking about, I'm going to skip over because I can't say the word. But it's in ice cream now. You know, and it's in the cereals that we normally feed children. It's in the hot dogs. It's in the snacks. But you know what? Our God loves us so much that it protects us from all those harmful things that is in our food and in our drinking and our water. So our job is to pay attention as best we can to all the God moments happening in our lives. And be grateful. Be grateful. God woke me up at 3:30 yesterday. And I said, are you going to talk to me? Because I'm kind of sleepy. And this is my habit. God, if it's something that you want to tell me, enlighten me with, would you bring it to my consciousness now? But if it's not, would you let me go back to sleep? And sometimes I get wide awake and I get all this influx of information. And then sometimes I lay there and I fiddle around a bit and I thought, okay, what's up with this? And then next thing I know, it's 2 hours later. God just wanted to test me, I guess. I don't know. I have no answers to that. But I know that we are to rejoice and be glad in the Lord and shout for joy in all things. Because with God, all things are possible. So I encourage you to review how you think. Review how you live. Review how you treat other people. And review how you expect other people to treat you, because people are not going to treat you any better than you can treat yourself. Take a look at your life. We're in a very precarious part of our lives right now. It's so much going on in the world that God needs you to up your spiritual wattage so that you are burning at your highest potential. You know, I use the analogy of the light bulb. You know, those little bulbs that we put in our refrigerator, what are they, about 5-10 watts? Something like that. God doesn't want us burning that small. God wants our light to shine so all the world can see. You don't have to go out preaching to the world. They will see who you are by what you say and what you do and how you treat other people. So I encourage you to remember that when you get kind of snarly with somebody, remember, God is there. God is there with you. I know that God is good, and God only wants good for you, for me, for the whole world. God is no respecter of persons. We are all beloved in his sight. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I behold the Christ in each and every one of you, because I'm looking at a mirror reflection of myself. Thank you for allowing me to come be with you again. I look forward to seeing you next month. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.